Welcome to Conversations with Community Managers, a podcast series with actual community managers from a variety of industries. On this podcast, we peel back the hype and get into how-to discussions that uncover community and social media management best practices. Conversations with Community Managers is a co-production of Voce Communications and the Community Roundtable. This is Jim Storer with the Community Roundtable.
And Doug Haslam with Voce Communications. And with us is Christopher Barger, Global Director of Social Media for General Motors. Hi, Christopher.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's great to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you.
Quick question to start off. How long have you been with General Motors?
I got to General Motors in the spring of 2007. So we had about 6 or 7 months of a chance to start laying some groundwork and building a social program. And then all the funds in the industry, and we kind of had to go into reactive mode and withdraw a little bit. And in the last year or so, we've really been able to get back out and start doing the program the way we wanted to do it. So I've been here for 4 years almost now, but there were extenuating circumstances affecting how we built the program.
Can you talk a little bit about how you built that program? Because I think what's interesting is I imagine you were hired to come in and think about digital, and can you talk about how you kind of infuse that throughout the company? Because one of the things that's really, I think, striking to me is when I go to GM.com, social has really garnered a lot of realty on that homepage and also throughout the site. I mean, you've got one of the three main navigation items. You've got Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, I believe, icons right on the front page. So can you talk about how you get there from where you started?
Sure. I started by being hired into the communications function. Over the course of the past few years, now we've been kind of trying to expand into marketing, and I'll get back to that in just a moment. But what we started to do with communications, I recognized relatively early on, if I tried to build a center of expertise that centered around me as the community manager, if we led with just a couple of us that really knew the social space and kind of took it over and ran with it, and that's all we did, we would have a fairly decent community, and I would we'd build up presences for the handful of us, but we wouldn't make social pervasive throughout the company. We wouldn't be able to, in that model, spread the virus, as it were, or make sure that the company adopted social. So what we started doing fairly early on was a model of what a immerse and disperse. What we'll do is bring in people for about a year at a time. They've been in the communications departments primarily, although now we're starting to bring in a couple marketing people as well. And for about 1 year, you are completely immersed in social. It's all you do. You manage the communities on Facebook and our Fastlane blog and on Twitter for General Motors as a corporate brand. You go to events and conferences, try to build as many relationships as you can, learn from people, maybe identify what's coming next and so on. But then when you've spent a year on the team and you've learned as much as you can and gotten good at this, it's in the best interest of the organization if I push you out. I don't want you still being on my team at that point and becoming, again, that center of expertise. Now you should go on to another brand or over to design communications or over to financial communications somewhere else in the organization and be the evangelist there so that you can spread the gospel of social throughout the rest of the organization. So over the course of the 4 years, there have been 15 people who have done, at different stretches, time on this team. They've come in, they've learned what they could. We now have somebody who's been on my team at each of the four brands, at Cadillac, at Chevrolet, at Buick, and at GMC. We've got somebody in design. We've got somebody in financial communications. We now have a couple people in Chevrolet marketing who've done time on this team. So really, it's just creating as many evangelists as you can. Any of us, you, me, Tim, any of us, there's only so much time in the day. There's only so good we can do as an individual trying to spread this to the organization. But if you create evangelists and centers of expertise and then push them out, you can just spread things that much faster. So the fact that GM.com has those social presences, at this point, honestly, I had very little to do with that directly myself. That was people who've come in and learned and now are working on the digital team who was redesigning the site. And he said, this stuff is important. We need to have it there.
So I had a question that I was going to tee up about your team, but it sounds like you've got a really interesting rotation. I haven't heard that before, but I love it. Can you talk a little bit more about the roles you have on that team, even if they are kind of rotating through?
The makeup of the team has, and the roles and responsibilities of people on the team have kind of shifted. When we started in early 07, and then through the middle of last year, even there wasn't a whole lot of being done from a brand perspective. Most of what was being accomplished in social was being done out of the corporate umbrella by my team. We were actually the ones doing and managing. In the past years, we've spread this out to the brands and kind of let go and let the brands start running their own strategy. Now it's more of a counselor role. So I have somebody assigned to each of the brands. And, in the case of Chevrolet, my person is now going to all the communications and marketing meetings over there where they're discussing anything digital strategy or anything with community management, what's being said on a Facebook page, what they're going to put up and what they're going to, how they might respond to things. I have a team member sitting in there. We want it to be Chevrolet's decision. I don't believe that it does us a lot of good to manage that from the central tower. Frankly, the people who are working for the brand know the brand better than I do, so they should be running their own plays. But we have the expertise in this space, so we kind of sit in and counsel and try to, do a little reality check on things and our sense check, identify new opportunities, frankly, and things like South by Southwest, when the opportunity that came up to be involved in that last year, that was my team finding out about the opportunity, going back to Chevrolet and saying, this really could be a big play. Here's kind of the approach I would take if I were you. Let's work together on coming up with a program. So, the brands are doing a lot of the executing at this point. We are both counselor and identifying new opportunities for them.
And just one last question around the team and how you guys interact internally. I'm wondering, do you have any sort of internal community or technologies that you use to stay in touch digitally within GM broadly, or do the business units?
We do.
Okay.
We do. We experimented with both Yammer and Socialcast. We thought Socialcast is a little bit more robust, so we went with, after doing a pilot on both of them, we've stuck with Socialcast. There's a decently sized community within the company that operates on Socialcast. I think we're in the four figures now, which for a few months is not bad. What I've seen happen actually though is you trend toward a community of super users. There might be 1,500 people who've signed on and have accounts, but there are the same 40 people kind of dominating the conversation and really driving where things go. I'm not bothered by that. I think it's probably a good thing because it helps to surface who might be influential or who might be, a leading thinker that we might not have recognized or might not have known about. So I think these internal tools provide us the chance to surface some new thinking and some leadership.
You mentioned being involved with South by Southwest a little bit earlier there. And one question I had about getting involved with events like that one is that certainly within the social media marketing community, we get a little bit, concerned about staying within the bubble and trying to make sure that we're getting outside to the general population. And certainly with a large company like GM, that's got to be a concern. And do you see when you get involved in events like that, like South by Southwest, where there's definitely a social media influencer component that's driving a lot of the marketing there, do you see the lines drawn outside of that to, larger ripple effects?
You do, because we looked at South by as sort of a two-pronged opportunity for us, or having two tiers. The first is what was happening during those, the 5 days of interactive or the 9 days of the festival altogether, and you had one program that you ran there. But where it starts to extend out and where I think you're going is that we really looked at this as a long-term opportunity, that we're going to meet people here during this event who we're going to be able to go back to during the course of the rest of 2010. And sometimes we'll be doing things online. Sometimes we can do grassroots kind of stuff and do physical meetups or drives and start to borrowing with their community. If you do something in Boston with a heavy influencer, okay, great. That person draws people in. Well, now somebody's going to see, okay, there are a bunch of cars out in front of this bar. There's a lot of people. What's going on? And you start to draw in the non-social people as well. So if we were looking at South by Southwest or any big event as only an opportunity during the extent of the event or the festival itself, I could see the concern about kind of talking inside the echo chamber a little bit and reaching out to the same people and you know, just having it repeated back and forth. But when you look at it as the springboard to things that you can do later on in the year and as the beginning of relationships that you're going to continue to cultivate for the rest of the year, you can extend it out past the bubble.
And speaking of events, I was actually listening to Kristen Brandt of Manic Mommies, who co-hosted the For Immediate Release podcast, speaking of the marketing groups. And she mentioned in her talk with Shel Holtz that, you know, just name dropping here, it's great. But she mentioned in the talk there, as I was listening to that, about their first get-together of their Manic Mommies groups. And when she mentioned you and GM as wanting to get in on their first event and sponsoring, and she said, well, you know, there's only going to be about 70 or 80 of us. And, you know, my thought there was, okay, you're allocating resources and spending the time to actually get out there and sponsor this small event. How does a Fortune 500 company justify the time put into what I'm going to call a micro sponsorship just because of the mere size of the event?
You have a better experience with us. In the case of the Manic Mommies escapes, and we've done four of them now, I can guarantee that every single one of the attendees is going to have a personal experience with somebody from the organization, somebody from General Motors or from the brand that was there that year. They're going to have probably the opportunity to drive a car. They're going to have a chance to get to know us a little bit. We're going to have a chance to perhaps be more influential within that micro community than we are on a broader level. And, you know, when you're to bring it down to, you know, dollars and cents, if one person that we talk to at this event buys a car and spends $25,000, well, now that's paid for our activation. That's paid for everything that we did. If two people buy a car, now we've got a 100% return on the investment.
Well, so you're starting to talk about metrics and measurement, and that's certainly a hot topic right now among folks that are working in social media and community. And I wonder if we can go back to South by Southwest earlier this year. You guys did a lot between the road trip challenge and kind of, I'll say, immersing people in the Chevy Volt. You guys did a lot at South By. Can you talk a little bit about how you've measured the effectiveness of what you did, and if you're comfortable kind of sharing what the results were?
I'll couch that by saying it's sort of a long-term strategy. We have a three-year involvement with South By Southwest, so you know I'm building this out in terms of, you know, what do we want to achieve in 10, 11, and 12. For 2010, frankly, the goal was, you know, GM had been out as a social brand. We'd had one of the first corporate blogs. We'd started to build a presence. But then in 2008 and 2009, when the economic crisis hit and we had to go through what we went through, we really had to retract. So for 2010, the goal was to sort of, you know, reintroduce Chevrolet as a brand and as a player in this space, get some relationships built, start to begin making people aware that we are back in the game after a couple of years out. That's not as much of an ROI from a business standpoint in that first year, but I didn't feel like we were in a position where we could be doing that just yet. So it was all in terms of visibility and numbers. Chevrolet went from 1,700 followers on Twitter, because that account had not been established very long before we started this up. I think during the course of March 2010, we doubled the number of following and the number of followers of Chevrolet on Twitter. More importantly, though, what that did was get some folks within the Chevrolet brand recognizing the power and potential of that tool. They started using it a little bit better, and they've got more than 13,000 now. So again, it's sort of that short-term view and a long-term view. We know that we had been mentioned from January to the first week of March. We had been mentioned on Twitter about 4,400 times as a brand. During the 9 days of South by Southwest, we were mentioned, 13,500. So a lot of, you know, again, keeping in mind that there's sort of a long-term play here, and the first part of that was visibility. We got that. We got people looking at us. We had more than 61 million impressions on Chevrolet content and the videos that we were putting out that year, or, you know, during that time. So if the intent that year was to grab some attention and you know, get people looking in our direction, we achieved that. Now, as we've gone into 2011 and planning for the program there, now we've kind of gone, okay, you know, people know we're here. That's great. People are paying attention to us. They've built relationships with us. We've begun to do things with them beyond just Don and Austin. Now this actually has to start tying back to, you know, business goals. We need to, you know, position the brand a little bit more strongly. Knowing that we're out there is one thing, but what does Chevrolet stand for? What are our vehicles that we have out? You know, I want to make sure that, you know, people, that one of the goals for this year is tangible recognition of the brand proposition. And as much as marketing as that sounds, you know, geez, that's what we're all in this for at the end of the day anyway. You know, I want to make sure that not just knowing that we're there, but knowing what we stand for, knowing what products we have. I want to be able to, and this is always really, really tricky because, you know, you go into anything like a South By with the idea that, you know, we are going down here to enhance the experience that people are already down there to have. I cannot force them into a Chevrolet experience or try to turn this into a Chevrolet event. So you build a program designed to, you know, to help people have some fun and help people do what they're down there to do. But at the same time, man, I would love to be able to start tying that back and you know, I don't know if it will do it through the use of a particular code or, but, you know, how many people are going into dealerships at this point? Are we seeing a rise in traffic as a result of being active down there? We're spending less on South By than you would on a standard marketing campaign. So, you know, from a cost analysis standpoint, I guess we're, you know, it's a lot less costly than a standard advertising marketing campaign. But if it's not eventually resulting in increased traffic at dealerships, people buying vehicles that they, you know, might not have thought about buying before, if it's not paying off, then I haven't done my job. So this year it's going to start tying it back to actual business, actual, you know, traffic into dealerships, actual recognition of the brand proposition, that kind of stuff.
Can you give us a sneak peek into what you're planning?
The big difference between 10 and 11 from a, you know, from a, what you'll notice in the, on, from our presence is that this year we've got as much focus on film and music as we do on the interactive side of the house. Last year we largely focused on interactive. You know, most of my staff left as soon as interactive was over. Most of the team left. There weren't as many vehicles down there. This year we're down for the entire program, and we will be just as active and then have just as cool of a program going for music and film as we did for interactive. That gets back to your points earlier about taking it out of the bubble and getting into to the real world, so to speak. You know, they're very different. You know, the feel in Austin changes completely when interactive leaves and music comes in, and we wanted to try and change the nature of what we were doing to fit that.
Christopher Barger, Global Director of Social Media at General Motors, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. Great to talk with you.
Thanks, Christopher.
You've been listening to Conversations with Community Managers, a co-production of the Community Roundtable and Voce Communications. To comment on what you have heard, email doug@voceconnect.com or jim@community-roundtable.com. You can comment on our blog posts at vocenation.com or community-roundtable.com/blog. Subscribe to this series on iTunes or on either blog.